This is the Voice of First Nation Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indian tribes of the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And now here are your hosts, Deborah Klein and Marv Betcher. We'll pick up where we left off last time as we hear more from Debbie and Marv on First Nation Ministries.
Well, speaking of Cecilia, say a prayer for her. She's in her 80s, still trying to do a jail ministry, and she says, "It seems like the battle is on to get me to stop going to the jail." Says, "From Tuesday morning, it started. First, my oldest son was going to be sent to Sioux Falls to the Sanford Hospital. They were trying to find someone to go with him. Both parents could not leave because of the job, so I volunteered to go with him. It took 1 hour to arrive, and we went by a small airplane. His wife and children and his mom came when he was released, but by then he looked better and was able to walk. I don't know what his problem was, but..."
Was that her oldest son or mm-hmm. her oldest grandson?
Her grandson. First, my oldest son's son.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and then it says, "Since we came home, a granddaughter was put in jail. Another son had to be taken to the ER in an ambulance. Then a niece lost her daughter by taking too much of her medicine. And then this morning I received a call about a great-grandson who is gone with his girlfriend." She says, "I'm just sharing my day with you so you will know how to pray for me and my family. I like that song, 'The God of the Mountain is still God in the Valley.' I can still thank God and praise him." So, but let's do pray for her. Life is not easy on the reservation. There's a lot of Christian Indian parents that their children are not walking with the Lord, and it's a real heartache. I don't even know how to explain it to you. You absolutely would have to go there and see what it's like and just feel what it's like on the reservation.
Yes, amen.
To understand the problem. But anyway, let's continue to pray for her. And I just want to say thank you, teammates, because you're making this all possible by your donations of clothing and household goods and vehicles and money. So remember those dream catchers, and remember John Bush needing hearing aids. If you'd like to be part of that, we'd be ever so grateful. And he's just going to be shocked.
Yes.
He's just going to be stunned. I know when my dad got them, it was just because it's so aggravating not to be able to hear. It's so frustrating. And when my dad got those good hearing aids, it was like, oh, you know, he could just relax a little bit. I think it made him tense to constantly be struggling and straining to hear. And so, yeah, it's just real important that we do this for this, this servant of the Lord.
In my case, I just thank God for having been in the Navy, because my hearing aids are very good and they didn't cost me anything. So
that's wonderful.
Yes.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about revival. Revive us again. You know that old hymn, "Revive us again." We sure need it.
Yes, amen.
Our country is in trouble. And you know, the sad part is, I really believe it's the fault of the Christian community. Really. Because we have allowed this to happen. We didn't stand up. There was no outcry. We just kept quiet, and we are where we are because of it. Revivals were kind of the norm in Western Europe. But now, it's like we are bankrupt spiritually. We need a spiritual awakening, and we need a fresh God-given passion. You know, passion, if it's truly from God, is born and nurtured in an atmosphere of truth. Have you noticed that people say what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong? It makes you feel crazy, because the media and the people that the media allow to talk on the television and whatever, it's like it's just crazy. It's like, oh my goodness. Truth comes from a true, clear understanding of the Bible. That's the bottom line. Its message of covenant with God and God's grace. And ultimately, the Word of God, when it's used directly by the Spirit of God, is the only means for bringing about reformational revival in this time. You know, about a century ago, there was a college student in Wales named Evan Roberts. He was 26 years old, and he got permission to leave college to go to his home village to preach his first sermon. 17 people showed up to listen to his 4 points, and his 4 points were these: confess any known sin to God, put away any wrong done to others, put away any doubtful habit, obey the Holy Spirit promptly, and confess faith in Christ openly.
Amen.
And nobody could have predicted the impact that that event would have. History says that within 3 months, 100,000 converts had been added to the churches of Wales. And 5 years later, there was a book that said, oh, the revival was 100,000 were added to the churches, but 5 years after that, only 80,000 remained. Well, that would be good. You know, and then that revival jumped the ocean and spread in America. And that was the last major nationwide revival that we have had since 1905.
Wow.
There's no doubt that the need is desperate. And I believe the concern of the believing community has begun to mount across the country for a special work of God. The thing is, this kind of a work of God comes at the pleasure of God. We can't force it. But he does wait for us to seek his face and to pray for a change or a rejuvenation of our heart and our soul and our mind. I pray that the Lord would be gracious and just rain righteousness from heaven once again. Only he can do it, but we have a part to play. You know, there's such a heavy sense of injustice and despair among Christians, well, and even some who don't profess. I mean, people just know evil is on the increase, and any force for good or righteousness is being kind of tramped down. Revival is the answer. I really don't know what else will work at this point.
I was kind of thinking about this 1905 thing you were talking about, and I was reading in a history book of revivals and stuff that in 1905 and 1906 in Portland, I don't know what the population was, but it wasn't huge. And in there at that time, over 200 major businesses in Portland, Oregon, shut down every day from 12 till 2 for prayer in Portland, Oregon.
Oh my goodness. Look how far we have fallen from that.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. I think most people who observe Western culture know that the time is ripe for a cry to heaven from people who sense that things are just out of hand, that the forces of sin and evil and destruction are beyond our ability to contain at this point. In just 25 years, our country has quadrupled Hitler's record for destruction of human life with abortion.
Wow. Forgive us.
Yeah, Hitler slaughtered 6 million Jews, and we have put to death more than 30 million babies. So the question is, if God judged Germany for her evil, will he not do the same to this country?
Yes, I believe he will.
I believe he will too, and I think it's starting. And that isn't our only sin. It's just one of many offenses that comes to mind at a time when evil has no boundaries. It's shocking to some of us what's going on. Our sin is growing out of all proportion. It includes child abuse, pornography, homosexuality, corruption in the halls of justice and in the halls of government. But you know, when evil and wickedness have grown, God has often graciously given his people the first signal of revival fires, a yearning, a deep yearning for relief that doesn't know any other language than just to cry for deliverance. Oh Lord, how long? 5 times in the history of the judges in the scripture, things got so bad that finally misery found a voice to cry out to God. And it's only then that the human situation, the human predicament, presents God's first opportunity to be heard clearly. And I think in the United States and Canada, we have arrived at such a time. It's time for revival in the Americas. It would be nice to have a worldwide revival.
Amen.
I think we need to pray for that. And so what is revival? Maybe it's a misunderstood word.
We'll need to stop here today, but we'll hear more from Debbie and Marv next time we get together on First Nation Ministries. Thank you for listening to First Nation Ministries, where our goal is to reach out to the Native American tribes throughout the country and share Jesus Christ with them. We do it through an act of love by providing much-needed food, clothing, bedding, and just those basic things they simply don't have. You can help us by donating those basic necessities to First Nation that would in turn be driven and delivered to our Native brothers and sisters. God made it clear to our founder, Don Klein, many years ago to reach out to these hurting people, and we want to continue that vision to take the powerful message of Christ to our Native American family. Tomorrow, please join us for our classic edition of First Nation Ministries with our founder, Reverend Don Klein.
I love to tell the story.
You can help us reach our Native American brothers and sisters with your prayers and financial gifts. Please write to us at First Nation Ministries, Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. That's Post Office Box 30055, Portland, Oregon 97294. You can call us at 503-477-6077, 503-477-6077, and visit our website at firstnationministries.org.